MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
With rising electricity costs and the strain of load shedding, South Africans have been seeking any sign of relief when it comes to their power bills. Now, there has been a positive development on this front. New price trends and improvements in grid infrastructure may offer a little bit of a financial breather for grid power users in the country. And today I want to unpack what this means for consumers and the broader future of South Africa's energy landscape. Roy Haverman is with us, consulting economist at the Bureau for Economic Research. And first of all then, Roy, can you explain the improvement?
Oh, well, there's been a number of developments, I think, from the industry side in terms of an improved model for financing of grid infrastructure. As we know, the big constraint at the moment is the lack of sufficient grid infrastructure for the new renewable energy plants that are coming online. And we're hoping that there will be announcements from the Treasury on how infrastructure grid will be financed. In addition, Eskom has also made a number of progress in terms of unlocking more grid availability by better optimization of the grid.
So what is driving this then? What are the main reasons for the drop in grid power costs?
Yes, well, the grid is, as you know, has been severely constrained. So the drop in the grid power cost has been mainly as a result of a number of factors, including improved financing conditions. Obviously, the Eskom has substantially improved its energy availability factor as a result of a number of initiatives that it's undertaken over the last year, which has put more electricity onto the grid, that has helped stabilize the grid. And that has overall, I think, led to a substantially improved situation for the grid.
And Roy, are these regional, or are there regional differences in cost reduction, or is this now a national trend, which I guess would be welcomed?
Yes, well, the grid, as you know, is quite regionalized in terms of different capacities in different parts of the grid. So one of the issues has been the grid capacity has been very constrained in the Western Cape, and in the Northern Cape, because most of the new electricity has been put online in the Northern Cape. And so the regional dynamics have been quite important, and it is a general trend overall. But, you know, overall, it doesn't really matter if it is regional or national. The impact will be felt throughout the country, because if you can unlock grid capacity in certain parts of the country, then you can utilize that capacity elsewhere.
So obviously then we have a new price paradigm here. How is this affecting, or is it too early to say, the average South African household's monthly power bill?
It's too early to say. The long-term implications, I think, will be quite significant, particularly in terms of bringing about, you know, more effective pricing of different parts of electricity infrastructure. So one of the big impacts of allowing for new generation at the generation part has been for the cost of generation to come down. As we know, renewables can cost up to 25% less than coal. Then the other parts of the infrastructure have been the grid, and then at the municipal level, which is distribution. And so overall, if we can get the prices to more accurately reflect the costs of those pieces of infrastructure, then we can more accurately get to a point where we can finance the different parts of the grid in the whole electricity value chain. And that will, in the long run, bring about a situation where electricity is priced appropriately, and priced appropriately at the different points in the cycle, which will allow us to make sure that we can invest in the right parts of the system. And obviously, as I said, grid infrastructure investment is very important.
So I might beg the question then, how this could change or impact consumer interest in alternative power sources like solar, given that so many individuals and businesses have opted for that path anyway, almost driven by desperation.
Yes, well, the interesting thing is, obviously, we've seen, you know, as you know, the NERSA figures have brought out that there's about 6 gigawatts of new energy that has been brought onto the grid. And consumers are doing this at home, but those are usually the wealthier consumers, because they have the ability to either pay for that additional self-generation themselves, or they can borrow. And the consequence is that actually poorer households are not really getting the benefits of that. And I think that if we can get to a system where it's more accurately priced and the prices are correct for the grid infrastructure, then that will benefit actually all consumers, but particularly poorer consumers.
What I'm also interested to get your view on is if we're seeing over time a price drop, particularly in the business sector that has been reliant on, particularly heavy industry that's reliant on power, surely this has a positive knock-on effect when it comes to inflation, and therefore it could signal an improvement in growth down the line.
Absolutely. So electricity is a very large component of the consumer price index, and it's a component both directly, so obviously because businesses, you know, use electricity as part of making goods, it goes directly into consumer prices, but also indirectly because those prices are then passed along throughout the chain. So there's second round effects of high energy prices. So it's an obvious point that if energy prices can come down, then overall consumer prices will come down. That'll give the central bank some space to cut interest rates. It'll bring down the cost of capital for everyone and be very positive, I think, for growth.
All right, so improvement in grid infrastructure. But having said that, though, Roy, where do you see the short and medium-term risks still existing?
Well, grid infrastructure takes a long time to build, so it is also quite complex in the sense that you have to often it has to be over long distances. You have to get rights to build it over long distances. You know, one of the technicalities is that there is a bit of a global demand for grid, and so getting hold of the actual wires has been quite difficult. But over the long term, this is very positive in terms of getting us to a point where we can bring on more renewable energy in the medium and long run, because if we can relax the grid constraint, then I think it'll be positive for everybody.
So is there any advice then that you could either give to businesses or consumers looking to make informed decisions about power usage in the forward, going forward, and managing their energy bills effectively?
Well, I think the fundamental problem is that South Africa is a very high, very energy intensive country anyway, even before load shedding. So that's the first point, is that we do use a lot of energy generally, and that I think businesses have become a lot better at reducing their energy consumption, but they should continue doing that. The second piece of advice is that managing, you know, one doesn't want to make people sort of feel that suddenly the load shedding has disappeared forever and that all these constraints are magically lifting. You know, as economic growth continues, there will definitely continue to be some energy constraints. So basically, we're not quite out of the woods yet. So I think the overall message would be to continue to manage your energy use as sustainably and carefully as possible.
I'm going to leave it there. Roy Haverman, thank you very much indeed, consulting economist at the Bureau for Economic Research.